As we get started this morning, I'm going to eventually need some volunteers. Anybody want to help me with something? I'm going to need at least five. I'll tell you that. Can I have one? Who can be volunteer number one for me? Well, I'm hoping the kids would particularly help. The grown-ups, they get to help all the time. Okay, well, you don't have to come up yet. I'm just going to, just raise your hand if you can be a volunteer. Okay, you can be one, two, three. You're going to get to open some of these boxes. Does that help? Okay, Francie can be four, and Junie can be five. And we can, number five can have multiple volunteers if we need it. Okay, I'll tell you when to come up, all right? So remember your number because I've already forgotten, all right? That's how it goes with grown-ups. Who here likes waiting? I saw one hand, bless you. What is the longest you've ever waited on purpose? We have to do a lot of waiting that we don't choose. What's the longest you've ever waited because you wanted something? How long, Theo? Half an hour. Okay, I get that. Yeah, Thea. A month to go back to school shopping. Okay, that's a good one. Yeah, you switched to that, okay. Sometimes I know people will wait in line, a really long line for like a ticket or something. I don't have a lot of patience for that. But I know my family just this week got back from traveling to visit my parents in California. Grandparents, right? Have you traveled by airplane? Because if so, you know it needs a lot of waiting. You have to wait in the car. You have to wait in the line to check your bag and go through security and get food and then get on the airplane. And then when you're on the airplane, then you have to sit there and wait. And sometimes it feels like nothing is happening. And if your flight gets delayed, you have to wait even more, which is one of my least favorite things in the very whole world. Why would we go through all of that? To get to see my parents and grandparents. To swim in the pool, enjoy vacation as a family. But when you feel like you've been on that airplane forever, it is easy to forget what you're waiting for. Now, the same thing is true when it comes to the kingdom of God. Now, what is the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, as we talked about today? Is there a castle in the kingdom of God? Maybe. Okay. Is that what Jesus is talking about when he talks about the kingdom of heaven? No, probably not. The best I like to think about the kingdom of God is wherever God is in charge. Wherever God is in charge. And where God is in charge, everything is very, very, very good. Very good. Isn't God in charge of everything already? Yeah. But you can see in the world, there's always things that are not the way they're supposed to be. Like, it hasn't all been set back in order yet, right? We are still waiting for God to make everything good and right and true and beautiful again. And sometimes God's people start to feel like we are waiting forever and ever and ever for God's kingdom to come, as it is on heaven. We might be sitting here saying, okay, God, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? You guys ever ask that question when you're traveling? We might even start to wonder if God's kingdom is real or just something that somebody made up. We might try to do something to just get it to come a little bit faster. Well, for us and for all of God's people who start to wonder, will we ever get there? Jesus tells a series of stories, of parables today. And parables, I've got my parables lined up here. Yeah, some of you are noticing. They're kind of like little treasure boxes. They take a little time to unwrap. Are you okay? Yeah. Somebody wants to get ahead of you in the kingdom there. Parables take a little bit of work to unwrap and understand, but when you open them up, they are really, really worth it. So we're going to open up a few today. So Theo, are you number one? Can you come grab box number one with me and bring it up here? All right. Can you open it for me? What do you see?
A dot.
Yeah. Is it, what size is it?
Teeny.
Yeah, it's teeny. This is my best impression of a mustard seed. A mustard seed. So imagine, Theo, that we take that little seed and we plant it. You know, we plant it? Oh, good, good. Can you water it? Yeah. Okay, now make it grow. Waiting. Okay, so we're waiting. It's growing. Oh my gosh, it's growing. And it's growing, and it's growing. It's reaching the top. Do you see it?
No.
No? I see it. Do you see the birds? Can you imagine that you see the birds?
Maybe.
What birds are up there?
I don't see any.
Sit down. It's okay. You get the point, right? This tiny seed grows into a huge tree full of birds. I like birds. I am that nerd these days. All right. I need number two, person number two, to come up. Thank you, Anthony. Can you grab box number two and bring it to me and open it up? What do you see? Can you describe it?
Maybe seeds, more seeds.
There's lots of little dots there, right? Yeah. Kind of like seeds. This is yeast. It's okay that you couldn't guess that. See my impression of yeast? Do you know what, have you ever baked? Do you ever bake? Sometimes. Bake bread? Okay, so I want you to imagine, can you take the yeast with me? I'm going to get my 60 pounds of flour. You know those like containers of flour? We're getting 60 of those. Okay, can you dump that tiny bit of yeast in there? Thank you. Can you help me mix it? Yeah. Now we're going to fast forward. Okay, make it rise.
Can't.
You can't. Right. You just have to wait. Thank you, bread people. Make it rise. Right? You just have to wait. Right? Thank you, Anthony. You can sit down. Okay. What is the point of these stories? By the way, that 60 pounds of flour plus that tiny bit of yeast, guess how many people you can feed with that bread when it's done? Not quite 2 million. 100 could feed all of us with that little. Or if you have Jesus, 5,000, right? Yeah. So what do these two stories that we just told have in common? What did you notice? Waiting. What else? Rising, right? Something that started small, almost like in the back you probably couldn't see it, but it got really, really big, right? And all you did was wait. Well, Jesus says the kingdom is like that. It starts small, even hidden, but God takes those small things and turns them into big things, and we just wait to receive it. In other words, waiting isn't a sign that God isn't doing anything. Waiting is part of how God works in the world. So our job is to offer the small things, right? Like yeast, like loving our neighbor, like reading the Bible, like coming to church sometimes. We offer small things. We trust that God will make them big. Someday we'll get to see the bigness of the kingdom like a tree. So Theo's not wrong that sometimes you can't see it. Sometimes you have to imagine what it will be like, but it will get here. In other words, the kingdom is worth the wait. So that's our first two boxes. Who's got box number three? Okay, Thea, come on up. Let's see what's in this box. Bring it on over. What do you see? Yeah, it's a blue diamond. A blue diamond. Do you know that a blue diamond is the rarest kind of diamond? It is. Do you know that a big blue diamond sold for $57 million a few years ago? That's a lot. Yeah. Do you think you'd like to have a diamond like that? Yeah. Yeah, thank you. You can put the box down. Jesus tells a story of a man who found something like the equivalent of an enormous big blue diamond just buried in a field. Like imagine you were out there doing your weeding, right? And you find a diamond in the ground. Imagine it was in the park across the way. Well, Jesus says this man said, oh my gosh. And he hid it so no one else could find it. And then he went, he sold everything that he had so he could buy that field. And it was worth it because that diamond was worth way more than what he had before. So he's glad to get rid of all of it. Woohoo, he says. Now he's got that thing that was so valuable, the blue diamond. All right, I need number four. Is that Francie? Okay. Let's open the box and let's see what you see. This one might be a little harder. It is not a piece of fruit. It might look like one. It's a circle. Can you say... It's a pearl. It's a pearl. Show it to the people. It looks a little like an orange. Look at how shiny this pearl is. how perfectly round it is. We're imagining, right? Thank you, Francie. Imagine that it is a pearl, you can sit down if you like, that is not huge, but you know what makes a pearl valuable? Is that if it's like super round, doesn't have any blemishes, it's shiny, maybe it's a funny color, and it was natural. Like, this is not those pearls that they can just make the oysters produce, right? We're getting deep into oyster lore. A man finds a pearl like that, and he says, I gotta have it. So I'm gonna sell everything I have to get that pearl because it's worth so much, all that and more. Well, what do you notice about these two stories? What do they have in common? Yeah. Things that are really valuable. Right. What else? They purposely lose everything they have to gain this other thing that's worth it. Right. They have to sell everything they have, but they do it without hesitation because they know it'll be worth it. So Jesus says the kingdom of God is like that. That being part of the kingdom is worth more than anything else in the whole world. Anything else in the whole world. Yeah. So the kingdom is worth the cost. That's what these two parables are about. All right, last one. Usually you guys cover one of these in Sunday school. We're doing five, so you're doing great. Okay, parable five, Junie. And we can have any other volunteers we want help me with this next part. Let's see. Okay. Can you describe that? What do you see?
It looks like a basket.
Looks like a basket, which is pretty good because it's a big net for fishing. I could have drawn a fish on there, right? Here's our big net. We're going to imagine that this gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And if you've been fishing like with a grown-up, you know that usually when you fish, you have one pole, right? You can kind of catch one fish at a time. No? Have you been able to catch more than one fish at a time? No. Okay. So the way they fished back then, imagine this. Imagine we have a big net. Imagine that like Mr. Jefferson's holding on that side and I'm over here. And then we go behind the boat and we try to drag in all the people. We could get all these fish people out there in this net and we're dragging them in. Jesus says, you know, when the fishermen do that, you drag in everything and you bring it on up and you say, okay, this looks like a good fish. Lots of good fish. Uh-oh, here's a boot. Let's put it over there. More good fish, lots of good fish. Oh, this one's kind of stinky. Let's put it over there. Fish are stinky, but there are some that are stinky because they're bad, right? There's bad fish and good fish. Well, they don't sort through everything until in the end, but the sorting happens just not until the end. Jesus says, the kingdom of God is like that. Until God's kingdom comes on earth, it's going to be a little bit like we're living in a big fishnet full of good stuff and bad stuff until the very end. Or it's going to be like we're stuck in an airplane with people we did not choose to sit by. Right? Airplanes have all sorts of people in them. It will be like that even in the church. There will be folks who are easy and folks who are hard. Folks who are good, folks who aren't so good. We will not see the sort of pure kingdom until the very end. We would rather not be in the net with some of these folks. We'd rather sort them out ourselves, but Jesus says, you know what? Only God has the wisdom to do that. In other words, when we feel like the world around us is full of bad fish right alongside the good, that is not a sign that the kingdom is not coming. That it's gonna be how it's gonna be. And that's God's grace, because you get way more fish with that net, even if it means the good and the bad are side by side. So the kingdom will be worth the mess. Can you guys help me remember the lessons from these parables? Remember the parable of the yeast and the seed? What was that about? What's that? Little things get big, and the kingdom is worth the wait, right? It's worth waiting for. How about with the pearl and the blue diamond? What do we learn from that? The kingdom is worth what? The cost, the price. And the kingdom is also worth the mess. So, we can trust God and wait for it, because it's going to be worth it. All right, you guys have been a very good audience. Thank you. And thank you to my box volunteers. for your imagination.